In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to take as the text for my sermon today the epistle from Paul's letter to the Galatians. The Apostle Paul is one of the two great pillars of our church, Peter being the other one. Yesterday was, in fact, the church's feast day for St. Peter and St. Paul. Paul is an endlessly fascinating figure to me. He can come across as tough and unyielding, but he also doesn't shy away from being vulnerable and humble in the difficult work of his ministry as a teacher of Jesus' message of love and welcome. Paul's new understanding of the world about him was not from any self-help scroll or Greek philosopher. It was from Jesus himself, in an appearance Paul describes to the Galatians in his letter. He was changed by this encounter with Jesus. His anger was relieved as God honed his skills and zealous temperament for the ministry work that he was called to do. Paul evolved to experience the world through the freshness of the gospel rather than through the lens of the prevailing culture. The experience took him to new depths of understanding about God's presence and work in the world, and he learned that God welcomed all people because all belong to God as created beings in the world. God, through Jesus Christ, provides the way for all people to enter this one great community of faith. The means are unconditional love and wholesale welcome. God only asked of us that our attitude to our fellow community members be consistent with God's attitude of welcome and acceptance. And Paul reminds the Galatians that differences does not count in Jesus' eyes. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Jesus calls us into freedom, but with freedom comes responsibility. This message of Paul should especially resonate with us this weekend as we celebrate with the LGBT community the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. That was the catalyst for the birth of the LGBT rights movement. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people have been persecuted for centuries. In many parts of the world, even today, an LGBT person can be arrested and jailed just for being who God made them to be. LGBT people in the West have been somewhat liberated from the oppression wrought by successive generations, although revealing one's sexual identity is still fraught with danger and apprehension in many communities. All civil rights protest movements have at their core the concept of freedom and equality and the desire to be accepted by society. Freedom is the hope of many, including refugees fleeing poverty and oppression in their homelands, people caught up in the horrible sexual slavery trade, low-paid immigrants and migrants and victims of domestic abuse. Freedom is a dream of hope that drives people on in their fight for recognition and justice. The premise that God delivers God's people from slavery is, or should be, at the heart of every Christian community. When we are delivered from slavery, we become free persons. And in being liberated, we work within our community to welcome and to free all others. Paul suggests that we should, through love, become slaves to one another rather than slaves to the cultural rules that exist around us. Our freedom doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like. Freedom means that I now have the power to shape the arc of my life, the power that was held back from me whilst I was enslaved. Archbishop Rowan Williams writes in his book, Meeting God in Paul, "The freedom Paul is interested in is something radically different. It is above all freedom from thinking that you need to satisfy God before God will welcome you. That, in Paul's eyes, is the biggest slavery of all. Imagining that you must make God happy before God will invite you in. Get rid of that, Paul is saying, and your slavery is over and true freedom begins." He goes on, "God is pleased with you in the simple sense that God has decided to invite you and to accept you. God is already welcoming you from all of eternity. Paul's evolving understanding of true freedom is a balm to the world. To believe that we need to satisfy God before God will love us puts us in a positioning of wondering what is good enough. These feelings of not being good enough pervade our culture and inhibit people's relationship with God. When people feel that they are not good enough, they often fall away from God's open welcome. In falling away, they become entangled in their desires and hoping to find acceptance and belonging there. And it's a terrible, sad reality. The behaviours Paul lists in his letter as being desires of the flesh are largely based on satisfying ourselves and emanate from our own desires and emotional states. We could argue that some of the stated behaviours stem from psychological conditions such as addiction or from unhealthy family dynamics that shaped our early lives. And I feel we will be correct in this position, especially as we know a lot more about human psychology and family systems than Paul did. However, I still feel like these behaviours, if they are not psychological illnesses, leave room for our acknowledgement that they emanate from our hearts in the absence of the knowledge and trust in God as a loving and welcoming spirit. If we allow the Spirit to lead us, we will find fulfillment in our faith and community. So how does real freedom through the Spirit work? And I want to quote again Rowan Williams. If it's freedom from anxiety about an unknown and unpredictable God, it's freedom from those behaviours that go with such anxiety. The passionate self-concern that seeks its own security. The fear that others are doing better or are more deeply loved than we are. The search for gratifications of every sort. It is freedom from new kinds of relationships in which we are at least able to contribute to each other's life and well-being, instead of threatening and feeling threatened by each other. It is also a freedom to bring good news to each other. Christian freedom is the liberty to let God do God-like things in you, to give life, to promise forgiveness and reconciliation, and to communicate hope in word and action. Freedom comes from God and Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. This may be as simple as opening oneself up to the suffering and oppression of others. A big issue that has opened up in our community or in our society that has come from the evolution of LGBT rights is the issue of gender fluidity. Not too long ago, gender was binary of male or female. That was it. What we know now from extensive studies by a range of academic disciplines is that gender is not binary, but there is a spectrum. A significant justice issue has risen around recognising this spectrum and honouring those that choose not to be identified either as male or female. It is very hard for many people to adjust to this new way of understanding, but we must get past our desire to use simple descriptors for what is a complex issue for many. When society forces a gender binary, many people feel unwelcomed and unloved, and God's desire for welcome would have been thwarted. Despite advances in LGBT civil rights, the rights of transgender men and women are being eroded yet again because some in our community are unable to see beyond this binary way of thinking. We can help God's purposes by letting go of this way of categorising life and welcoming everyone as God has welcomed us. God is always trying to break out of what is a groaning and a struggling world filled with judgment, frustration, anger and jealousy. God frees us from being slaves to this world, and through our liberty brought by the Spirit of God, we can help to lead others to freedom too. Paul says to his friends in the letter to Romans, "All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, and the Spirit you have received is not a spirit of slavery, leading you back into fear, but the Spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry, 'Abba, Father,' the Spirit affirming into our spirit that we are God's children." People like Paul and many of the other great saints of the church worked in ways to help their communities cultivate a world where the full nature of God is made visible and effective. Our calling as a community of faith is to work to cultivate a culture here that openly loves and welcomes everyone, just as God has loved and welcomed us. Amen.